And welcome back, hour number two of Sports Nightly, and time for our Nebraska Men's Basketball Hour. I'm Jessica Cootie, joined by the head coach, Fred Hoiberg. Coach, welcome back.
Thank you, Jessica. How you doing?
Good. Sitting in for Kyle this week. He was busy calling baseball, so figured I'd help him out this week. But congrats getting back in the win column with the win over Penn State.
Yeah, it was a good one. Our guys did a good job bouncing back from obviously a very tough loss on the road, and you know, emotional in a heated environment, and found a way to get back and turn the page, which was big for our guys to come back and take care of home court. Thought our crowd was really good early start, and you know, our guys got off to a great start.
No Burke in this one, so Braden Frager gets the start, and you could kind of tell immediately he was all over the offensive glass.
Yeah, it was a big game for Braden, and we got pretty late word on BK. He was actually just about ready to go out for his warm-up, and he had been sick, so 2 days before the game, he did not practice. He came in, he started throwing up, we sent him to the doctor, got him home, got him on some meds, and then came in the day before the game and was fine. He practiced, was there for shoot-around that morning in the film session. And then when he came back, he was just about ready to go out for his warm-up with about 60 on the clock and started throwing up again. So we sent him home, and then Braden got late word that he was going to get in there. And I did think he set the tone. I thought it was a great job by him. And I thought Jared Garcia really went in there, and when Braden got his second foul, did a really good job with his physicality. And that's what we need from Jared. We need him to go in there and play with force and play with pace. And I thought he did that. Rink had a tough first half, so we put Leo Curtis in there to play the last 5 or 6 minutes, and I thought he and Jared together played really well, and that was an important stretch when we pushed that thing up, I think to 18 is what the lead was at halftime, and really we never looked back.
You mentioned that Jared Garcia was probably his best week of practice. What did you see throughout practice that made it so good for him leading up to that game?
I think the biggest thing is he got in for extra work, extra film, you know, did a lot of the things that are necessary when he's playing the role that he is, to be ready when your name is called. And you never know when that's going to be. That's the one thing about that. When you're a little bit kind of teetering, being in and out of the rotation, you have to do everything in your power to keep yourself ready when your name is called. And that's what I'm really proud of Jared with, all the extra work. He was getting in really early. He's watching extra film with all the coaches. And then he took advantage of that time. And we're going to need Jared. We're going to need him in the postseason. Again, Leo, I thought, gave us great minutes as well. You know, gave Rink an opportunity to catch his breath, to get his composure. And Rink was much better in the second half, really got back to who he is.
Price, career high 33 points. He continues to just be all over the record books. Now he's up there with the single game three-pointers made with 8 in that game. But it was one of those games in the beginning that he couldn't miss. Like, that's sort of the best feeling in the world as a shooter,
honestly,
isn't it?
I think the only one he missed was probably his most open look.
Yeah.
But we found him a lot in transition. I thought he and Sam had great chemistry. Sam ended up with, I think it was 10 assists in that game, and a lot of those really were to Price, and we had a great recognition of where he was when he got it going. We've got different flow plays based on where he is on the court, where we don't have to actually call in action. It's just wherever Price is, we're going to go find him. And that's that to me, we were 1.74 points per possession in transition, and we only had a 6% turnover rate on our transition possessions. In our losses, I talked about this the day before the game in the media, our turnover percentage is 22% in transition. We always talk about playing with pace, but playing with smart pace. And I thought for the most part on Saturday we did that.
First career double-double for Sam with the 11 points and 10 assists. Those 10 assists, a career high. I chatted with Rink after the game, and I guess they were joking in the locker room, well, when Price can't miss, yeah, and 6 of those assists are to Price, then it kind of helps the cause. But, I mean, he finds him when Price, and he hits him in the pocket too. Price was telling me about that too earlier in the season. Just, he hits him right where he needs to. So when you talk about that quick release, it just is right where he needs it.
Yeah, and we do talk a lot about pass quality. And, you know, as a shooter, you really want to lead the player into it in your shooting pocket. And we work on that. We work on that in practice. The thing I thought we did, the other exceptional thing that we did, I thought, was making smart paint decisions. We didn't try to challenge their bigs. Penn State does have length in the paint, on their front line. And when we got the ball in the paint, we did not try to challenge those guys. We took very few contested paint twos, which is one of our least efficient shots that we take. So just getting the ball in there, I thought we played off 2 feet for the most part, and then we sprayed it out and got it to our shooters.
For Sam, and we talk a lot about this on the TV show, I mean, he fills up the stat sheet, and he really from wire to wire has been one of the best in the country at assist to turnover ratio. What stat impresses you the most with what he's done this year?
I think probably that, Jessica, is the assist to turnover ratio. If I'm not mistaken, he's either leading the country or
he's
leading the country in that category. That's such a huge thing for us. We've done a good job. Our basket assist rate is very high. And if we can get our guys making simple plays, you know, Sam's not overly flashy. I thought, you know, one of the best plays he made is when he drove it down the slot and made the left-hand pass to Price and did a great job getting to the what we call the hammer spot over there in the corner, and he found him. The other one was we got the ball tipped around a little bit. We got it in the paint, and Sam just kicked it out to Price on the wing. Those aren't fancy plays. Those aren't probably going to get you on SportsCenter, but they're very important. You know, the simple plays, hitting singles, we talk a lot about that. And I think that's what Sam has done a really good job of, not playing in a crowd and, for the most part, making the right play.
Where has his game grown the most over his career? Because it seems like from the start, people talked about him being a menace defensively, even when he was on the scout team. So he's always good defensively. But where have you seen him grow the most over the last 4 years?
I think the biggest area Sam has grown is with his confidence. And that's the thing that I've seen is he takes and makes big shots for us now, and he's not afraid to go up there and shoot it, even the semi-contested ones, which he was passing up earlier in the year. I think he just dipped under 40% in the last game when he missed both of his threes, but you know, he got that thing up. He had a really good stretch of shooting the basketball, and obviously to have to account for him now, that allows him to do what he does best, which is penetrate, get in the paint, and find his teammates.
For Price, too, talked about him moving up the record books, but man, he's going to completely smash the single season record, and for him to do it at Iowa, pretty special. But the way that teams are trying to keep him from doing it, he has to work so hard to be able to do that, but then he does it at such a high efficiency rate, over 40%. How impressive is just what he's done to be able to put his name already at the top of the record books and to do it so efficiently?
Yeah, and people don't understand, he takes a very high degree of difficulty on his shots, and that's the thing that's most impressive, to be able to shoot over 40% when you're taking that difficult a shot. And that shows you how quick his release is, because he's getting hounded all over the floor. The other thing I thought Price did a really good job of is creating contact on his off-ball movement, where we got a couple foul calls on that. And that's important when you get into the bonus, be able to get to the free throw line. Those outside shots are always easier when you can knock down a couple free ones.
Have you found, because I know you talked about this earlier, but when he's trying to get open and all of that, have you found the calls, has that improved, I guess, in the freedom of movement and him being able to get open?
Sometimes. we got a couple calls in the last game. The game before that, we did not. So, you know, a lot of it's just the crew and how the game is being called. But again, I thought Price did a good job of selling it, getting into the body and, you know, creating that contact and drawing a couple fouls.
I know you talked to Kent about this in your pregame, just about submitting the calls, and I won't get you in any trouble, I promise. But in terms of just the coaches' challenge, we see at the NBA level that you can challenge fouls. Do you want to see that at the college level?
I think that would be a good change, and maybe that will come. That's hopefully the next change that we can see. The thing I don't like is we had two challenges at Iowa that were blatant off their defenders, and you know, we had to use our challenges. So I didn't have another challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, if you win one, you get one more, and even if you win that one, that's it. You don't get an opportunity to challenge, and a call could come down to a last couple seconds.
Right.
And if you've already used your challenges, you don't get the other one. So that's a rule change that has to be that one has to be changed. And I even talked to the official about that, and he agreed with me in the game the other night.
Because in other sports, if you get it back, you don't lose it if you challenge.
Yeah, and you get it back the one time. Like if you lose your first challenge, that's it. You don't get the other one, and you lose a timeout. So yeah, that's the one to me that needs to be changed.
Has that been something that you've had to learn throughout the course, especially in these close games, of when you use them and when you don't?
Yeah, I mean, the one at Iowa was the second half, obviously a low possession game, back and forth, so we felt like we had to use it there. And, you know, again, I think it's only, five times that we've actually challenged this year, maybe six. But, yeah, it does. It goes through your mind because, again, you don't have that one at the end of the game if you need it.
Obviously the screen call on Rink, had that been reviewable in those low possession games, and at that moment that was such a huge call, probably would have been nice to challenge a foul call.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, that, because that one, it was a 2-point game at the time with, I think, a minute two left, and Rink was completely 100% set. Mm-hmm. And that one on the over and back, you know, that's another one that obviously would have liked to be able to challenge. But again, it's not there yet, Jessica, and you know, hopefully that changes.
On that note, though, going back to Price and what he's done, shout out, because we see the highlights every week on the TV show. I've learned so much kind of watching that. But your guys do a really good job of getting him open, too.
They do. I thought we screened really well in that game on Saturday. We got him a couple, freed him up for a couple out-of-bounds plays. Those are huge. And you talk a lot about winning the special teams games. And, you know, when we got Price loose for a couple of those threes and open, really open ones. Rink set a great screen on him on the one. And I think it was Jared and Leo got him a good look on another one. So those are big. We got Braden a dunk in the Iowa game on a baseline out of bounds, especially when you're struggling to score. Those are huge when you can manufacture some points on your out of bounds plays.
22 assists on 32 made field goals. You got to like that too.
Yeah, again, a lot of those were in transition. And, you know, 11 turnovers, which that's really what Penn State does. They pressure you all over the floor, and I thought a couple of those were late. Still a couple too many, I think, Jessica, unforced ones. We got to start eliminating those if we want to continue on with what we're doing.
All right, got to get to a break. More with the head coach coming up right after this. The Nebraska Men's Basketball Coaches Show is sponsored by Union Bank and Trust, where people don't have your money. Your money has people. The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres, solutions for every field. Welcome back to our Nebraska Men's Basketball Hour. I'm Jessica Coody with the head coach, Fred Hoiberg. Coach, I know you probably didn't know this, but they had the baby races, the annual baby races on Saturday while you guys were in the locker room. But one of the timeouts, they put up baby pictures of some of your guys and of you. Did you know that?
I did not.
They put up a baby picture of yourself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I think the crowd got it wrong because you could tell by the reaction that they did not know who it was.
Okay.
But they also had a picture of Sam. Would you have been able to pick out the difference between Sam and Charlie?
Sam had a little bit bigger colic in his hair when they were kids, but when we shaved him down pretty tight, it was very, very hard to tell them apart.
It was pretty funny though. It was kind of a fun feature seeing all.
Now were
all
they
those
together?
Guys
were they together on their picture?
No, they didn't. But I thought it would be kind of funny if we should probably put pictures up maybe sometime for you and see if you could tell them all apart.
Yeah, challenge you. I would take that challenge.
But no, I just didn't know if you were aware that there was a baby picture of you up on the big screen.
I did
Saturday.
Not. I'm pretty locked in on those times. So,
well, I didn't know if you supplied it to the.
I didn't
know.
That wasn't me. It was either my wife or my mother. So.
Oh, well, it was a fun day. But again, you've talked a lot about this, but just the atmosphere and just everything that goes into it. It's been pretty special. Hey, only two left. It's hard to believe.
Isn't that crazy? That's the thing about this season that is just blown me away is how fast it has gone. And yeah, it's been, I know I've talked a lot about this, Jessica. It really has been one of the more enjoyable seasons that I've ever had in this profession. And, you know, there's certain teams you look back on that are just really special because of what they're all about, how they approach things on every day, their daily habits. And this team is up there at the top. So it's really been fun. We got four games left, and I know we got a long ways to go with this thing, with the postseason tournaments. You know, it's nice not to be sweating at this time, hoping other teams lose. We do control our own destiny, which is nice. And we got to continue to get better. And that's what we did in our film session this morning. We had the day off yesterday. We cleaned up from the Penn State game. You know, still some mistakes that are being made that we need to grow on. And then we had a first look on a very talented Maryland team. This Maryland team is playing by far their best stretch of basketball. They've won 3 of 5. They beat Iowa in that stretch. They won at Minnesota. They won their last game Saturday, which was against Washington. This is a team that does a lot of things really well.
So on Saturday, they also, the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Committee also announced the top 16 teams, Nebraska coming in at 11. You talk about that too, just controlling your own destiny. It's also too nice knowing that you guys, if you take care of business, you're going to get a pretty good seed, which you've been a part of teams that's an advantage going into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the higher the seed, the better you are as you go into the tournament. But also knowing you're going to play a really good team and, you know, well-coached teams at that time of year. Again, it's all about continuing to take care of us. You know, we talk a lot about that. You go through all the other teams, their plays, you know, what they do, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, how you're going to attack them on the other end, you know, what you're going to do, their offensive rebound percentage. They turn over teams a lot. So we go through all that. But at the end of the day, it's all about us. You know, are we going to go out there and continue to do the things, the little things that have made us a, you know, a relatively successful team this year? If we do those things, generally, we have a very good chance of winning.
You mentioned the turnovers before we went to break, and you had a couple of games where you guys had more turnovers than are typically characteristic of this team. What were the issues there, and how do you make sure that that's not something that continues to happen?
Well,
with this group?
I thought going to the Northwestern game first, we had 10 at halftime. 10 for us a lot of times was a game, and a lot of those were really careless plays. They were switching everything. They were running through passing lanes, and we just continued to throw the ball to them. And not only the turn, but the live ball turnovers, those are the ones that are maddening, Jessica, because they generally turn into a pick six basket on the other end. And, you know, once we got settled down and got back to being who we are and getting our movement and playing through rink and getting the ball to the elbow, we had some really good possessions. But, you know, when you're giving the other team, Purdue is really where it started. We had 14 turnovers and we gave them a million offensive rebounds. When you're giving the team that many extra bullets, it's really hard to win.
Are you guys... I'm sure you're diving into that in the film and kind of they're recognizing and seeing exactly what they're doing and really for every turnover, I'm sure.
We do, yeah. We watched every turnover. We watched every offensive rebound in that Purdue game. And that was a really long film session after really failing in those two areas. And then going into the next game with Northwestern, we did the same thing. But we found a way to bounce back and win that one. And in Purdue, we found a way to start taking care of it. And then we got back into it after being down 22. And, you know, the thing about that, Jessica, all that being said, we still had a free throw to win that game. You know, then you go on the road at Iowa, and that was as hostile an environment as we've ever played in. And, you know, I talked about this with Price. I was really proud of how tough you have to be to play in that type of environment, going back to a place where you played 2 years, where your brother, you know, is one of the best players to play in that program. And to have to deal with that was very difficult for Price, but he handled it like a champ. You know, really proud of him. You know, still had a chance to win that game, but just too many mistakes in that one, Jessica.
Are you issuing a challenge for Husker fans for when Iowa comes back here?
They're going to be charged up. I don't think I have to issue a challenge. You know, they're going to be revved up on Wednesday night. And then, you know, I know our last game on senior night, I know our fans are going to be here in a big way.
You know, the physicality part of it, if that continues to be a trend, what has your group learned and how to better handle those types of situations?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were, you know, obviously a lot better against Penn State. And a lot of it was in transition. We did a great job on the glass, which got us out in transition, and that really got us confident, I thought, is when we got some of those easy ones. We got rink or rim run, which was great, and then obviously Price got really freed up on a lot of those transition possessions. And yes, Penn State is a pressure team, but I thought we screened really well, and our movement was really on point.
I think it's been pretty impressive that you've had multiple games where you have not had a pretty big piece and you've either won games or have been right there in games, and you did it again without Albuquerque. What is it about this group that they continue, even when you're shorthanded, to find ways to win or be right there in games?
Yeah, I mean, it's really what it's all about. And, you know, we obviously those guys are getting a lot of reps and practices, the guys that even aren't in the rotation, the guys that aren't playing. And we have confidence in those guys. And they showed that, you know, that listen, what Jared Garcia showed me, what Leo Curtis showed me, is you can count on them in big game moments. Leo did it in Michigan. Jared, one of the most important wins we had this year, gave us unbelievable. We don't win that Illinois game without him. And we don't win the game the other day without those guys against Penn State, especially with BK out. So, yes, it's really important for those guys to keep themselves ready. And again, I'm really proud of how they've done that.
All right, got to get to a break. One more segment here with the head coach on our Nebraska Men's Basketball Hour. Contact 811 2 days before you dig to protect your underground utilities and yourself. It's free. It's easy. It's the law. Keep it here. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Welcome back to our Nebraska Men's Basketball Hour. Got one final segment here with the head coach, Fred Hoiberg, and then we're going to hear from Leo Curtis. Had a chance to chat with him, and Coach, what a neat guy. I hadn't had a chance to interview him yet, and it was really fun talking to him. Played soccer till he got too tall, but it's crazy that he's pretty new to this sport and another guy with a pretty high upside.
Absolutely. Very bright future. He really put himself on the map with the under 19 world championships this past year, and he played great for his Icelandic team. And his last name's Curtis. Most males in Iceland have the son on the end of it, like Thrir Thorbjarnar's son. So he's Thorbjarn's son, and that's how they ended. If they're the girl, they put daughter on the end of their name. So I asked Leo, how come you're not Curtis' son? And apparently his dad is from Scotland, so he's got some Scottish blood in him as well, which, as in our family, my wife's father was from Scotland. So we're actually really both excited about the World Cup coming up because Scotland actually qualified for the World Cup this year, and they're playing in Boston. We were trying to make it work out, but we've got day camp, so I'm not going to be able to make it out for that game. But, yes, getting back to Leo, he's got an unbelievably bright future. And you saw his stroke the other day. He had an open three, shot it, it hit every part of the rim, unfortunately bounced out. But he can pass it, can rebound it, had a great finish. We were really struggling in the paint with a couple of finishes early in that game, but Leo got free, made a great pump fake in there, took his time, and had a good finish. But he showed the same thing at Michigan. I mean, how about that? The kid hadn't played probably in about 10 games, and he goes out there without skipping a beat, plays against an NBA front line, and did a great job holding his own.
For as tall as he is and as late as he got into basketball, his footwork is pretty impressive.
Yeah, he has really good footwork, has a nice stroke, is like I said, he's got good skill. He can protect the rim. He's got good timing when he can go up and block shots. So he's just he's got a chance to be special when it's all said and done.
You talk about the World Cup. Did you watch much of the Olympics?
I get into that stuff. Uh-huh. I like, whether I'm laying in on the couch at 4 a.m, flip it on and watch curling. I know it was good, or watch the half pipe or whatever it is. It's amazing how they come up with those events. Two man luge. I mean, come on, who came up with that one? And then you got I love the bobsledding and the skeleton. I mean, but again, who comes up with these events? It's incredible.
I know. And I mean, I like both the summer and winter, but it was pretty fun to watch all of it. But it's crazy how there's not as many different sports, but there's just so many different versions within the sports.
It really is. I got up early and watched the gold medal hockey game on our day off. That was incredible. I mean, those saves that that goalie made, it was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it was. I was. All right. So getting back to basketball, Jamarcus Lawrence, we saw him go down. How is he doing? How is he progressing?
Well, I think he was okay today, but he actually came in with a bout of the flu. He had to get up during our film session. We sent him to the doctor. So we just, knock on wood here, I just hope it's going to not go through the whole team. But we were battling a little bit that. I know a lot of teams are at this time of year. And again, that's why you keep your guys ready, for worst case scenario and situations like a few times have happened to us. But yeah, he's the ankle, I think, was going to be okay. I don't know if he was going to do live today, but he was certainly going to do the non-contact portion, and then we'll see how he's doing tomorrow. But the other guy that's doing a lot better is Braden, and I thought physically, and even in talking to him, he felt 100% for the first time since the injury. And you can tell he's really been favoring it. I give him a lot of credit for battling through some soreness. You can tell his shot's been a little bit off with his balance, but he got back to being on point in that last game against Penn State.
So I know you're all in on Maryland, but then you have your West Coast trip. Do you like the way the schedule sets up this year, where the West Coast trip's kind of here at the end?
It is what it is, Jessica. Mm-hmm. You can complain and bitch and moan about your schedule. That's not going to do any good. Mm-hmm. So, you play the schedule that they put in front of you, and, it just happens to be for us this year at the end. The thing that I don't like, because we play 10, it's a 10 p.m. Central Time game against UCLA, so we're going to stay over as opposed to getting back at 5 or 6 in the morning and fly back that next day. You can't use an off day as a travel day, which is ridiculous. So we're going to come in on the travel day and walk through film cleanup from the UCLA game, and then we have to take that next day off, which will give us 2 days to prepare for that last game against Iowa. But that first game back from the West Coast team West Coast trip is always a tough one.
You know, you've talked some about just this time of year, and a lot of it is getting all your guys healthy and all your kind of weapons full go. But when you try to get your team playing their best basketball right now at this time of the year, what goes into that? How do you get a team clicking on all cylinders?
It's really just it's all about all the things you've been doing all year. I talked about this the other day. We don't need to go out and reinvent the wheel right now. We just need to get better at the things that have made us a successful basketball team and build off of those things. It's our guys, when we have good movement, when we take care of the ball and we finish off possessions, we're pretty tough to beat. We're very vulnerable when we go out there and don't play with the pace and purpose that we need to. And when we struggle on the glass, that's when we're in trouble.
One of the things I have not asked you about, but we've talked a little bit about it on the TV show, but where does this team rank among some of the better ones at executing inbounds plays? Because we seem to show a lot of those highlights on the TV show.
Yeah, this team does a good job. Last year, actually the year before, we were really good. CJ made a lot of threes off our inbounds plays. Casey obviously made a lot of threes on inbounds plays. We've run a couple ISO type actions for Rink this year that we've added. We'll actually set a small on big ball screen for Rink, and then at the end of the day, we'll curl Braden off a lot and try to get Price freed up. We use Price as a screener a lot on our inbounds plays.
It helps too. You got good passers that are inbounders in Sam and Jamarcus, right?
Well, you need a good decision maker and a trigger man, obviously. And Kale is he plays in that spot a lot of times as well. And all three of those guys are, I think, very good decision makers.
All right, let's wrap things up with you. Final few minutes. Maryland coming up on Wednesday night. Tell us about that matchup and what it looks like for you guys.
Yeah, really, really tough team that they play with a lot of confidence. You can look at their overall record, what it is, but it's all about when you play a team. And as I said earlier, this team's won 3 out of 5. And three really impressive wins. They run a lot of different defenses. They'll 2-2-1 back to a 2-3 zone. They'll 2-2-1 back to a tandem zone. They'll 1-2-2 back to a 3-2 zone. And then they'll play a switching either 1-4 or 1-5 man defense. So you just have to prepare for so much with them. And you can just see how much better they've gotten at all those as the season has gone on. They got a kid, Mills, who's a redshirt freshman that is just killing it right now. They've got a player, Coit, that's had 240-plus scoring games. And then, again, the rebounding, that's where the game is going to be won or lost, is on the boards.
Do you have a Rolodex of whatever defense you're going to play that you tap into, or do you design it for any given team that you have, what works best?
Yeah, I mean, we have plays, obviously, that we prepare for when you play. We faced some zone in the last game. I thought we did a really nice job of getting shots. Price hit a couple threes against it. Braden hit a three against it. And, this one's a little bit different than the zones that we have faced. Minnesota played a couple possessions of zone where we hit shots. But this one, again, they play three different ones. That's the challenge, is you have to prepare for all the different ones. And then they may not play any of them. But you still have to prepare. You have to get ready for whatever you're going to face and then just go out and execute to the best of your ability.
All right, and I know, again, you're all in on Maryland, but we won't have you in. So how about USC on Saturday? What does that matchup look like?
I haven't really dug into them a lot, but I've seen some of the games as we prepared for other teams that they've played. Unbelievably talented roster. Arenas has recently gotten back into the lineup after having an injury. And ultra, ultra talented player, 5-star player, Gilbert Arenas' son. Baker Mazzara is one of the more unique players in our league. Osser is a big, strong, physical, tough kid. And then they've got shooting and talent around it. So, I haven't seen a ton of USC yet, but I know it's one of the more talented rosters in our league.
At this point, with just what's left, and I get people asking me all the time about, seeding, and where could this team go? And I know for you guys, is it just, hey, we just got to play one game at a time, and everything else will work itself out?
Yeah, you can't skip steps. You can't get ahead of yourself. If you do in this league, you're in trouble. I thought our guys did a great job. Again, I talk a lot about this in our business, the importance of getting over big wins and also tough emotional losses. And that was a tough emotional loss that we had against Iowa. And, our guys found a way. It showed good resolve and bounced back and had a big win against Penn State. Now it's about getting over that one and getting ourselves ready for Maryland.
All right. Great stuff. As always, appreciate you stopping by. And best of luck coming up on Wednesday night.
Okay, thank you.
That was the head coach, Fred Hoiberg, here with us on our Nebraska Men's Basketball Hour. Keep it here. Coming up next, we're going to hear from the freshman, Leo Curtis, on our Nebraska Men's Basketball Hour. Enhance your grilling game with a Nebraska-made grill from M Grills. Wood pellet and charcoal grills made to last with Nebraska values. Check them out at mgrills.com, a proud supporter of Husker Athletics. Welcome back. Final segment here of our Nebraska Men's Basketball Hour. I'm Jessica Coody. Appreciate the head coach, Fred Hoiberg, spending some time with us here tonight. And for our final segment here, got a fun one for you. I recently had a chance to sit down and have a conversation with the 7'2" freshman forward, Leo Curtis, out of Iceland. And very interesting story of how he got into basketball and then being recruited here. He actually grew up a fan of some guys that played here from Iceland. But, you know, going back to the big minutes he played at Michigan when the Huskers dang near knocked off the number one team in the country at Michigan. And with Rink out, he came in, provided some minutes off the bench and some big minutes. And then, of course, on Saturday against Penn State, his number was called and was able to provide some big minutes for this team, as we heard Coach Hoiberg talking about. So they're going to need him moving forward for whatever it might be in these next four games, also maybe in an NCAA tournament run. So however many minutes it might be, whatever the role might be, they're probably going to need Leo Curtis. But I had a chance to chat with him and learn more about his story and how he got here to Lincoln. Well, we welcome in Leo Curtis. I'm excited to get to have a conversation with you. How's it going?
It's going good.
How has it been settling in here at Nebraska?
I think it's been really good. Like, I like this place, and just being here is kind of good.
So we haven't had a chance to talk with you here on this, on our radio network. Take me back through your recruiting process and why you felt like Nebraska was a good fit for you.
So last year I played prep school in Boston, and I was recruited by different colleges, and initially I committed to ASU, but I had to decommit in, I think it was late April, maybe start of May, and that's when I started looking at other schools, and Nebraska was one of them, and they kind of just stayed on top. They just kept recruiting me, and I liked what they offered, so that's how I ended up here.
You talked about what Coach Hoiberg is able to do with his big guys. What did you like in how he develops his bigs and how he utilizes them?
So he showed me like some film of Rink, and I thought I could see myself like playing how he does, and I think it's the right place to. I think he's the right coach to develop bigs like me. So it was a good fit for me.
What has it been like being a teammate with Rink?
It's great. Like, I can learn a lot from him and how he is. And he's like a professional. So he's a good, like a good role model for someone new coming in.
So you started playing basketball late. How did you even get into playing basketball?
I was playing soccer since I was really little. And when I was, I think it was like 15, almost 16, I think it was 6'8 or 6'7. And I thought, like, I'm almost too tall for soccer. So I thought I'd try basketball, and I liked it. So I stayed with it.
Because a lot of people have said that you can tell your footwork is good. Have you felt like the soccer background has helped with your footwork on the basketball court?
Yeah, I think it has helped for sure. And also, like, mobility, because in soccer you got to use your feet a lot. And it kind of translated to basketball. So I think it has helped with, like, knowing how to move your feet and also just how you move overall.
So what was it like then? You kind of come into the sport late, and then all of a sudden here come colleges in the United States wanting you to play for them. How was that process? What was that like for you, kind of working through that and realizing, oh man, I'm pretty good at this and I can maybe do something with this?
Yeah. When I started playing basketball, I was like really bad. And I was just trying it for fun since I was so tall. And I started getting better, like, for the first couple of years, and I liked it. So I started working harder, and it kind of just kept going. And I wasn't really – the main decision I had to make 2 years ago was either going to Europe or the States. And before that, I always thought about going to Europe, but since like everybody is going to the States and stuff like that now, I went to a prep school and all the colleges started recruiting me, which was pretty cool. I didn't really know how it was going to go before I moved out.
So what has Nebraska been like? What's been the biggest adjustments living in Nebraska?
I started by moving to Boston, which was also way different from Iceland. So I had like a little bit of a head start. But Nebraska is also way different. It's just everything is kind of different. Like the people are different, and just how you live.
We talked about Coach Hoiberg and how he develops, and especially his bigs. What have you learned? How have you grown already just in the not even year that you've been here and in his system?
I think the first thing is like my basketball IQ is probably a little bit better and knowing how to use what I have. And he's been helping me working on my shot, which I think is getting better. And then also coming here in Nebraska, we have like a great strength training program and a coach, which like I've been able to transform my body a lot since I got here, which I think translates a lot to the court.
It was funny because when you said you first started playing basketball, you said I wasn't very good. What kept you coming back?
When I started seeing I was getting better, that's what I loved about it. When I started to get a little bit better, I realized like how fun it is to get better. So I kind of just tried to get even more better, and it just went on from there.
That's awesome. Okay, so take me back to the Michigan game. You guys know that rink's not available. You come in, and Coach Hoiberg was so happy with your minutes. What was your approach to coming in there and being ready when your number was called?
I've tried to stay ready just throughout the season because you never know what happens. And this was a game, so I just did what I've been doing in like practice and stuff like that. So I'm not sure how it...
You felt ready. You felt ready for it.
You just gotta try to stay ready, and like no matter the game, if it's a like a small D1 team or Michigan.
Yeah, no, that's great. So then what was it like when you were able to provide that, you provided a spark. So how good did that feel when you were able to provide that for this team?
It felt good during the game until we lost in the end. It was kind of, felt good to be able to like play meaningful minutes in the game. And it was a really like, it was really tough to lose this one because we wanted it so bad. Mm. So, yeah.
What has it been like being a part of this team and in this locker room? You guys seem really close and like you have a lot of fun together.
Yeah, I think it's a really like together team, which is really important. Like everybody knows their role, and like everybody puts the team in like their interest. Like everybody puts the team first. I mean,
Coach Hoiberg talks about when you guys have team meals, you have to put your phone away, right? How much has that helped getting to know each other?
I think it helps for sure. Like we speak more and talk more to each other rather than just staying on our phone, yeah.
And learning about where you come from and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
What about Pinnacle Bank Arena and Husker Nation? What has that been like for you?
I love it. That's probably the biggest difference. Or like from especially last year in Boston, we were playing games and there was nobody there. Back in Iceland, like my club, I loved the fans there. But there weren't as many, never. So being in Pinnacle Bank Arena is amazing. Seeing so many people and coming to every single game.
Again, the freshman forward, Leo Curtis. I really enjoyed chatting with him. A fun conversation there. But again, going to be important piece of depth piece for this team moving forward as they close out the season, move into the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. And next up for Nebraska men's basketball, we will not be on the air again because we will have a basketball game for you, broadcast coming up 6 o'clock tip on Wednesday against Maryland, 5 o'clock pregame show for Kent Pavelka and Jeff Smith right here on the Huskers Radio Network. But we do have a big show coming up for you here tomorrow night on Sports Nightly. It's our monthly athletic director show with Troy Dannon. He will be here with us in our first hour. Kyle Crooks, Troy Dannon here from 6 to 7. So lots to get into there with the AD. And then in hour number two, the head coach Amy Williams will be joining us. A huge win for Nebraska women's basketball at Washington on Sunday. Britt Prince knocking down the three to give the Huskers the win. And they've got Senior Day coming up this week. So we'll be able to dive in with Amy Williams as they still fight to get into the NCAA tournament. Lots to play for here for Amy Williams' crew, so we'll be able to chat with her about that. So big 2 hours coming up for you tomorrow night here on Sports Nightly, so we will talk to you then. Thanks to Josh Hilkeman for making this thing go, for Kyle Crooks, and also Fred Hoiberg, thanks for joining us earlier as well. We will talk to you tomorrow night here on Sports Nightly. Thanks for listening.